Greetings, everyone, and it's nice to be back with you. It's quite a number of months since I was here, I realise. Time flies when you're having fun or you've got COVID or whatever keeps us down over the months. But we're all well, and it's great to be sharing with you once again. I'm going to be reflecting upon these readings from 1 Timothy's, the letter of Paul to Timothy, and the Luke reading. The Apostle Paul wrote to the young Timothy to encourage him in his Christian life. Paul was a mentor to Timothy, and his counsel that was recorded in this first letter has been of great benefit to Christians since the beginning. It's great to have Paul's words for us to hear and reflect upon even today, down through the centuries. So today we hear from Paul's first letter to Timothy in the last chapter. He warns Timothy against following false teaching, which was obviously an issue where Timothy was. False teaching that causes all sorts of strife. Instead of trying to get ahead with worldly wealth, Paul says that godliness is the way to live. So Paul continues that there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. Godliness combined with contentment. Godliness does not lead to material gain, an increase in wealth and social status, as some were teaching and some still say today. Godliness is living out our Christian faith in a way that pleases God and bears witness to others of the love, the mercy, and the forgiveness of God. Godliness is simply following the way of Jesus. Knowing that we are loved and accepted by God in spite of all our failings and our inadequacies brings contentment, together with this desire to follow the way of Jesus. Pursuing more and more material possessions, wanting to be rich, can, as Paul counsels, can plunge people into ruin and destruction. Paul makes the famous statement that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. That is often quoted, not so often adhered to. Paul makes the point that we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. But of course we do need some basics while we are here, food, clothing and shelter. If we have these, we can be content with a godly life. Now, we may bring nothing into this world, but when and where we are born has a huge influence on what resources are available to us in this life. Now, I suppose, and you probably can't avoid it if you watch any television or listen to the radio, that you have heard and read the many things that have been said about Queen Elizabeth II after her death in the last couple of weeks. She obviously was born into privilege as the daughter of a king. She was very rich in a worldly sense. She also inherited great responsibility, becoming queen when she was only 25 years of age. As a young queen, which you may have heard repeated quite a number of times over the last couple of weeks, she pledged herself to serve the people over which she was to reign. And by any measure, I believe, she kept that pledge over the 70 years of her reign. Now, despite what people might think about the institution of monarchy, Queen Elizabeth's personal life was one of godliness. I don't know how many of you watched the funeral service last Monday, but it was great to hear the Archbishop of Canterbury talk about her personal faith, her godliness, and how that bore witness to the world, and his plea that people will look at that and be inspired to follow Jesus as well. Despite all her grandeur as a queen, Queen Elizabeth was a godly person. She maintained a strong Christian faith, and she used her position as best she could to serve humbly, to support and encourage others. In chapter 2 of Paul's letter to Timothy, it begins with him urging that supplications, prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and queens and all who are in high positions, so that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. Queen Elizabeth gave an example of how to lead in godliness and dignity. When we compare her with many of the other leaders during the time of her reign, she stands out in that way as one with faith and, despite all her grandeur, her humility. Now we need to pray for King Charles III, just as Paul urges. Riches are not a barrier to a godly life. What we do with the life that we are gifted with is really the issue. In Luke's gospel, Jesus does not condemn the rich man for being rich, perhaps his extravagance, his lifestyle, would have attracted some criticism. He probably was overdoing it as a rich man. But the point that Jesus makes is that the rich man is condemned for his lack of concern for the poor man at his gate. The rich man does nothing to alleviate the suffering of the poor man. So God receives the poor man into his kingdom. The rich man goes to hell. And after their deaths, Jesus makes the clear point, it's too late to change that judgment. For the rich man, the time on earth was the time to show mercy and offer support to the poor man at his gate. The message is that no matter what our social status or economic means that we have in this life, God requires from us a life of godliness and contentment, not greed, which leads ultimately to discontent. All we need to know about how to live God's way has been revealed to us. Can't say, well, what's this godliness about? Read the scriptures. As Jesus said, even before his coming, there was God's revelation through Moses and the prophets. The well-known passage from the prophet Micah says, God has told us what is right and what is required of us, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. That is godliness. There in the Old Testament. Even with Jesus' life and teaching, even after his death and resurrection, somebody did raise from the dead. People ignore what God requires of us, and they do so at their peril, as Jesus' teaching tells us. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, life in all its fullness. Not riches in all their fullness, life, true spiritual deep life, the real life, as the gospel reading concludes. This life that Jesus offers is a life of godliness and contentment. It's not dependent on how rich or poor one is. It is dependent on us choosing to follow the way of Jesus. Godliness is not just about our faith in God. It's also about how we live out our faith in response to other people. As Paul advises, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment for everyone. No matter what their situation in life, be it a queen, a labourer, or whatever our situation might be, we are not to set our hopes on the uncertainties of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Think about the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the provision of God. Godliness with contentment gives fullness of life for all. Amen.